You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. As is becoming clear, Barack Obama will have plenty on his plate on January 20th, but we want you to give us some suggestions of things to put on his night table between now and then, books and movies, suggestions for Barack Obama to take up on his to-do list as he prepares for inauguration.
Hi, my name is Richard Cavish. I live in Nyack, New York. The book I'd recommend that him read would be The Sonnets of William Shakespeare. They are perfect in every way. They're only 14 lines long each. They prove that good things can come in small packages, and that if you don't waste any words at all, you can still achieve a perfect work of art.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org for your suggestion. You don't have to have them rhyme.
But it's nice if you do. We appreciate that. And we were just talking about the auto industry. As we watch the auto industry hemorrhage money and jobs, what does the employment landscape look like, not only in the auto industry, but across the country? Joining us is financial consultant Alvin Hall and also the author of Show Me the Money. So we were just talking about how the auto industry and them having to slash jobs and reconfigure in the face of many challenges really truly affects Americans in ways that are unexpected.
Yes, because people will feel that their jobs are threatened, whether you're working in advertising or the company that makes the leather for the auto industry or the company that makes the little plastic things and mold them for the auto industry. All of those jobs will be threatened, and people will start to cut back on spending. We're entering the Christmas holiday season. As we enter that season, people are not going to want to walk past these windows and put money down in the stores. So stores will hire fewer part-time workers over the holiday season. How many people, and I know quite a few, depend upon that part-time job to pay for their gifts during Christmas? You watch holiday sales begin to contract. Then stores will start to lay off more people. It's a domino effect that's going through the economy.
We could even lose some stores as a result.
Absolutely. You walk through any store in Manhattan. Yeah. Right now, and it's some of them, you could bowl down the main alley because there are no people. There's just not enough people to sustain the stores. It's frightening.
But let's make a distinction, yes. Something that John pointed out earlier today, before we started the show, actually, he and I were having a conversation, but that those jobs in stores are likely to come back when the economy bounces back, as we all expect
yes.
It will. Those jobs in the auto industry, though, there are a significant portion of them that are just never going to come back.
Never at all, because the training that the people have or the skills are so specific to that industry, they have no elasticity in them. So this is another area that the government has to focus on, very much the way they did it in FDR days. They're going to have to provide some way to retrain these people or to give them other jobs in which those skills are useful.
But that was a manufacturing time in the 1930s, and now it seems like since the 70s, which is what this recession seems to smell most like, although the numbers aren't in yet, based on contemporary history. We've become a service economy since
yes.
the 1970s. How does that affect the transition, particularly if you're in one of these jobs where you're really concerned?
I think it's going to make the transition very hard for people who are in traditional manufacturing jobs. The service economy requires a different set of skills than just going in and using a wrench and putting a car together or making something like that. You have to have a different set of language skills. You have to have a different set of people skills. I think it seems easy on the surface, but if you've never had to do that kind of job in a service economy where you're dealing with people, it can be hard to do. I think the training is the important part. I think if the government or states put into place a training program that will help people with the skills, they might develop them. But I think it's going to be hard for them.
But how do states do that when one of the side effects of this troubled automotive industry is a lack of tens of millions of dollars that are going into the coffers of local and state governments who would be in a position to set up these programs and help workers transition?
They don't have the money. The government the government is going to eventually, I hate to say this, they're going to have to print more money in order to make this happen. States don't have the money. School systems don't have the money. So you're watching as the whole job market just contracts around us.
So if you produce ink, actually, you're in good shape. Because the printing of the
red
money.
Ink.
Yeah, red ink. Yeah, right.
Red ink
and green ink for printing the money. Well, let's talk about healthcare. There's a growth industry There's an industry that supposedly does really well in bad times. What are the opportunities for people in the troubled service sector or troubled manufacturing sector to get into healthcare? Obviously, they're not going to become doctors and nurses, but there are other ways of getting in.
Yeah, you can go and get the training to become a home care assistant. You can work as a sort of nurse or a low-level assistant in a hospital. But will those people find those jobs as satisfying? Or will they take those jobs just because we need to earn money?
I think pay is lower.
The pay is lower, and the hours are often much longer, and the jobs involve dealing with people who are not necessarily in the best health or best situation. And a lot of people find that very difficult.
And doesn't that depend a lot on where you live in the country?
Yes.
Because healthcare opportunities, lay that out for us, they're readily available in some regions of the country as opposed to others.
Exactly. You look in cities, you'll find more hospitals. You look in areas like North Carolina, where you have the Research Triangle Park, where there's a lot of work going on there. Other places like that around the country where people can get jobs in those sectors. But if you're living in Iowa, perhaps, or maybe even around Detroit, where there isn't that much of this type of work, it's hard. It's hard. This, you know, I think this discussion is so important because what we're showing is that Barack Obama is coming into the Oval Office with a tidal wave of problems. Mm. And between now and the time that he comes in, he and his economic advisors have to sit down and really come up with some unusual or new solutions to these problems. I think he's doing the right thing in bringing in all these different points of view at this time, but they're going to have to be very creative because everywhere you look, there's no good news.
Thanks for that, Alvin Hall. We're gonna leave it at that. Leave Alvin Hall, financial consultant, author of Show Me the Money. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now we turn to Femi Oke, who's got some headlines for us.
I'm trying to prove Alvin wrong, but not on this newscast. Good morning. It's 28 minutes past the hour.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.